Hello, and welcome back to the Mood Society podcast. I'm your host, Camille. I'm a copywriter here at Mood.
And I'm the other host, Ash or Ashley, and I run the social media pages.
And today we're going to be taking a look back at 2021.
Woo!
Woo! What a year!
What a year!
What a year! We say. We're very excited for 2022, but this year was pretty good in terms of fashion.
There are moments that were supposed to be big fashion moments, like the Met Gala, and there weren't as many big looks like previous years, but in regards to other events or times in regards to fashion, there were some good ones in 2021.
Yeah, everything's kind of moved online, which makes sense because, you know, as much as we could go outside, a lot of us are still stuck indoors.
Yeah.
Or indoors for the most part. So, you know, people are coming up with things online and finding a way to stay stylish. So we are going to be breaking down four of the top trends from this year and suggesting some patterns for them and just generally talking about their influences and their history. Let's get right into it. Do you want to talk about fantasy / mythology?
Yes. Number one.
Number one.
This one is a personal favorite of mine.
Mine too. I feel like for a lot of us who work here, we all love this trend.
Yeah. Cottagecore, royaltycore, regencycore, dark academia. I mean, we're all geeks.
Yeah.
So, we all love the geek fantasy kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I literally listened to the Iliad and the Odyssey while I work. Like, I am known to do that. So all of the kind of dark academia, the Greek-inspired clothes, and the Zodiac stuff is right up my alley.
Because
it all ties back into Greek mythology and those types of stories. Those are really big on TikTok as well. I feel like everything we're going to talk about, we're just going to be like, we saw it on TikTok.
It's on TikTok.
I don't know. We're 23. What do you expect? We've also got films like The Green Knight and everything with Princess Diana.
Yeah.
Go check out our Princess Diana episode if you're a little more curious about that.
Wink, wink. Nudge,
wink,
nudge.
Wink. And we've also got, well, we'll talk about this a little more later, but we've got, you know, cozy video games like Animal Crossing and Stardew Valley, where people were literally hosting fashion shows on Animal Crossing.
Yeah, and a lot of, like, designer brands, like Gucci and a lot of other big names, made clothes for Animal Crossing that you can get in the game.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's awesome. I am a huge fan of Animal Crossing. And I think it really ties into this whole fantasy because it's a very escapist world. And a lot of the clothes in the game feel very escapist.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely video games influences a lot. But especially within the last couple of years, since most of us, if not all of us, were trapped inside at one point or another, video games has been influencing fashion.
Yeah. And then we've also got, we just picked out three big name fashion brands or designers. So we've got Selkie, which is probably the number one brand when you think of this fantasy, romantic, cottagecore, royaltycore look.
Mm-hmm.
I just think of Selkie and their big puff sleeve dresses.
Yes, super puffy, super confection cake.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
We have a picture in front of us right now of one of their latest collections, and it's all based on Marie Antoinette, and it's so cute. Oh my gosh, I want them all.
It is. They're so cute. They're like cotton candy.
I know. And they're styled so well.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got Batsheva is like the most cottagecore brand that has ever existed. I feel like I've referenced them a lot in terms of what's really trending because they're so on trend for right now. I see a lot of Batsheva dupes on like Shein and stuff.
Yes, they're everywhere.
Yeah. And another brand that is more of a, it's a smaller brand, but Little Women Atelier.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been on Instagram and have liked anything from Selkie, you've probably heard of this brand. They run an Etsy shop and an online shop, and they're all linen, dresses, overalls, skirts, all based on the book Little Women, and it's very cottagecore. The one we picked out literally has a woman holding bread with an apron.
Bread.
It's the most cottagecore
super
picture.
Cottagecore.
I know. You want to go into some of the runway looks?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So the two shows we're going to talk about, although they're older shows, I feel they kind of hearken. They're like the, what is it called? Like the Piper of cottagecore and mythology, fantasy-inspired looks.
Yes.
One is the Victor and Rolf Fall 2019 Couture. I love this look.
It's, this entire show is stunning.
It's so cool.
It's the, like, otherworldly.
The embroidery hoop skirt is so cool. It's a really cool blend of, like, the space mythology side of this trend with the zodiac, and there's a lot of references to stars and planetary bodies.
Yes.
And then the stay-at-home, homemade cottagecore part of this trend with the embroidery hoops and a lot of, I believe this other skirt we're looking at, it's felted wool.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, like, made by hand by a craftsman.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
Just that homemade quality.
Yeah.
Homey. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I think, one of the best things about the cottagecore trends. It feels very cozy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Which is the best.
It is. And the second show that we are taking a look at is the Guopei 2019 show. And very fantastical, but very, one of the looks is very... very in your face, very,
yeah, it's got the historically Rococo inspired thing, but then it's also got a cottagecore element. It also feels like out of a fantasy storybook.
It does. It feels like it reminds me of, like, Alice in Wonderland with one of the looks.
Yeah, so this specific look is the double model pannier skirt. Mm-hmm. Yes, costume degree coming in. And it's surreal to look at. It's cool.
It's
really cool.
It's very intricately detailed and embellished. It's stunning. And then the other two looks are just, they, those feel extremely cottagecore, chemise, very more natural with the poof sleeves and the loose fitting garment.
Yeah, the gathered elements. I think one of them has cartridge pleats, but they're very sort of
loose
and flowy. And I think that's a lot of the appeal of cottagecore, too, is while it's this romantic fantasy world, it's also very comfy. You know, you can look and feel really good in it, but you're not necessarily, like, cinching yourself in. Well, corsets. Actually, I lied.
Sure.
Corsets are big, but if you're just wearing these kind of, you know, flowy, puffy gowns, it can be something really cozy that doesn't necessarily feel restrictive.
Yeah.
Well, the corsets don't always feel restrictive, but they can be sometimes, to some people.
Yeah, there's, we can go on a whole tangent about corsets and stays, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they are definitely a part of this, but I think there's also, like, for some people, they're probably like, yes, corsets are great. And then for some people, I think it might be, because it is a very foreign feeling to wear a corset. So for some people, it might be like, no.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think there are, within this trend and within the fantastical, mythological inspired garments, there's a lot of room for people to play and, like, find what they like personally, as opposed to what everyone else is wearing.
And that's why I really love these trends, because the cottagecore, dark academia, they're like based in something, but you're not married to a specific guideline. Like, you can mix and match or, like, pull from a different trend kind of scene.
They feel very, like, a good base for a lot of jumping off places. Like, I could definitely see someone who's into cottagecore also being into dark academia. Those are technically two different trends. They marry really well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or someone who's into dark academia also be into some of the other trends we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place to start, especially if you're looking for, like, capsule wardrobe or something more versatile. I think these clothes and these fibers are a great way to continue that trend.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you want to talk about, we have so many cottagecore patterns, so many.
And to list a few, we have way more patterns than just the ones that we list.
Yeah, we have so many. We have 200 plus, I think verging on 300. Yeah. I don't know for sure.
And it's only growing.
It's only growing. So we have the Winterberry cape, which is a classic fantasy-inspired cape. It can obviously you can use it for cosplay, but it could also just be like a really high fashion couture.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Outerwear look.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely perfect for now that we're in the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
If you make it out of a mood boiled wool or any of our other wools,
It's
perfect for this season, even though it's not particularly cold outside right now.
Yeah, for us it's not cold, but for where you might be listening, it might be very, very cold. So
yes.
We also have one of our top downloaded patterns, the Bridgerton dress.
Mm-hmm.
This is a classic. It's really cute. It's really versatile. I feel like you can both make this as like a very formal
mm-hmm.
black tie evening gown look and then make it as like a day dress that you wear to work.
Oh yeah, definitely. And depending on the fabrics or how you style it, or if you want a short sleeve or a long sleeve or lengthen the skirt length.
Yeah. So we also have the caraway blouse, which I actually have in my closet, the one that is on the blog, the test garment that we made. I took it home because I like this blouse so much.
Oh yeah, it's stunning. And it has those signature cottagecore puff sleeves and the gathers.
Yeah, and I really love the collar of this blouse. It adds a really different and unique element to what is ostensibly like a peasant poet blouse.
It adds like another layer of, I don't know, elegance.
Yeah, like it feels
it. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely heightens it and it brings it into a totally new and unique realm.
Yes. To continue the patterns for our fantasy / mythology section here, we also have the Heather dress, which is also a mood fabric social media favorite.
Yeah.
Fan favorite. It's very much resembles almost like that peasanty apron look.
It's very 1970s, which we'll talk about in a minute.
It is. Very on trend.
Yeah.
And another pattern that we have that semi jumps off of the apron-esque look is our Vernal jumpsuit.
I am planning on making this pattern.
It's so cute. And the cross strap back.
It's adorable. I'm going to make... Speaking of mythology, I totally got the Sugar Collection, the rainbow busts.
Yes.
And I'm totally making a Grecian-inspired overall thing for this.
That'd be so cool.
Because I'm obsessed. And again, I listen to, like, myths at work, so I'm very excited.
Definitely gotta wear that to work.
I am, once I, like, have room for this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And time too. But yeah, this is, while it's obviously a jumpsuit, you can borrow, like, I'm just using the top for my pattern, and then I self-drafted, like, a skirt for myself.
Oh yeah, and that's definitely a plus with all of our patterns.
Yeah.
You don't have to actually make the whole thing. You can
definitely change them, or just, like, yeah, like, take the top from one dress. And, for example, you could totally take the top of the Vernal jumpsuit and then put the bottom of the Heather dress on it. And that's another look you could do. There's a lot of different elements.
Mm-hmm. And our final pattern here is our Water Lily dress, which very much reminds me of Hermione Granger.
Oh, it does. Oh, that's so cute. It does kind of look like Hermione Granger's dress.
It does. It has, the Water Lily dress has basically a more fitted bodice.
Yeah, it's like a mermaid silhouette kind of.
Mermaid silhouette with the bottom half of the skirts having more of like a more bodied tiered.
Yeah, there's a three-tiered ruffle.
Yes,
ruffle. For this skirt.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, it is very romantic and sweet, like the Hermione. Oh my god, I almost said prom.
Yule.
I think ball.
It's the Yule ball. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know it's the Yule. I feel like the Harry Potter stands would come after me, being like, it's their prom. Like, but it has that sweet romantic vibe. And again, I think this is a dress that could either be like, again, a very black tie, fancy dress, or you could make it out of like a cotton or cotton poplin.
Yes.
And it could be just like cute day out in the city.
Oh yeah.
In Central Park, living your life.
Cute.
So you want to talk about some fabrics that we have?
Yeah.
Fabrics. Yeah. So obviously if you're looking to get a cottagecore fantasy inspired look, natural fibers are really great for this. Linen, cotton, silk, wool, those are your top four natural fibers. And those are great. I mean, Little Women Atelier is like basically all linen.
Yeah.
And it looks really, really cool and really, it brings a historical kind of vibe to it, but it doesn't feel dated.
Yes.
I should say that. Yeah.
And it definitely heightens the cottagecore-esque feel to it.
Yeah.
With linens.
And we also have the Gaia collection, which is Greek mythology inspired. I love this collection. I like keep an eye on it every day and see what's back in stock because I want to get some fabrics. It's really cool. Highly recommend. And I think the Heather dress was actually...
Yeah, it was made.
It was made with the Gaia collection.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot of inspiration there if you're looking for some. As cottagecore is really historically inspired, people have also just been looking to the past this whole year and have been really embracing a vintage aesthetic.
Yes, and the vintage aesthetic, like looking back at previous decades, spans from like the 1800s or like even before, and especially like the 20s, the 40s, more like the 50s, 60s,
yeah, like 70s. 30s. Yeah, there's right now a little bit of 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think the most popular are probably 60s and 70s.
Definitely.
But people are finding inspiration from every single decade and finding what works for them, because I think people are realizing that fashion history isn't always one size fits all. Mm-hmm. It's more certain vintage aesthetics might look great on certain body types, and people are feeling more empowered to be like, oh, you know, this specific time period had clothes that really, really looked good on my body type. So I'm going to go and like pick that. And one of the catalysts for this, in our opinion, is WandaVision.
Yes, which... it was wild to think that it happened almost a year ago. The show was coming out. But it really did change. Well, not change, but like it really brought into the mainstream media like this showing audiences the different decades.
In a like a kind of heightened shorthand form that I think a lot of people can recognize, like parodying sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
The sitcom clothes are all going to be kind of heightened versions of what people actually wore. But because of that, people can, like, instantly recognize, like, the 50s episode is very 50s. The 80s episode is super 80s.
Yeah.
And people also have probably a personal connection to these clothes as well. Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, they parody every sitcom from The Dick Van Dyke Show to Modern Family. So probably all of us have watched at least some, if not most, of these sitcoms or a couple of episodes here and there.
Yeah.
And have that touchstone of being like, okay, I recognize these clothes. I recognize what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's very accessible.
It is very easily digestible.
Do we want to talk about our favorite looks from the show?
Oh, yeah.
I loved all of Wanda's 80s clothes. She looked really cool.
I loved all of Vision's suits and menswear.
Yeah.
Also, the different, like, the waistline being slightly different or it fitting him differently and the lapels and the seam lines. And,
yeah, they did a great job of really distinctly, like, not only can you tell when Wanda moves into the different decades, you can tell when Vision does too.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a great job of really, again, signaling to the audience, like, this is what decade we're in now. We're in here.
Yeah.
These were probably one of the most popular Halloween costumes besides Squid Game.
Yes, definitely.
This year. So everyone has been looking at WandaVision for inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the vintage aesthetic is through music, you know?
Yeah.
Like a lot of musicians from past and present are pioneering the survival. Some present examples we can think of are Harry Styles and Måneskin.
Yeah.
Måneskin especially looks so glam rock and
I love it.
It's so cool.
I love it.
They always look so cool.
They do.
ABBA has also experienced a huge revival on TikTok,
yes,
which is dope. I'm so here for it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, ABBA's great.
To mention the Beatles, with the Beatles documentary coming out. Or it came out.
For everyone listening, I am unhealthily obsessed with the Beatles, like to a very weird degree. Like to the degree where I put a heart graphic over Paul McCartney's face on our work thing. So I am going to try to succinctly tell you that you should watch the Beatles documentary. It's very cool. The coat game, impeccable.
Yes, honestly, who would have thought that watching the Beatles documentary, it would be just a fashion.
It really was. I was kind of shocked.
It's fantastic. Yeah. The clothes in it, the coats, the turtlenecks, the shoes.
George Harrison, every time he steps into that studio, he's like, if you're not going to pay attention to my songs, you're going to pay attention to what I wear. Yeah. He's wearing the most ridiculous 1969 clothes, and it's so cool. Oh, it's great. Ringo also has some great shirt game.
His paisley button-ups.
Yeah. It's really good. And I've seen so many fashion websites being like, the Beatles, the unexpected style icons. Yeah. I'm like, y'all, they've been style icons.
I can't knock that. They have pretty good style.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty cool. That's my rant for today. But this has also been something we've seen on the runway a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So, Moschino 2022 pre-fall was very Sgt. Pepper inspired.
You can tell.
I'm going to keep my mouth. No, I am going to tell a fun story. So,
fun story.
I took a pilgrimage to Liverpool at one point in my life, and I got to see the Sgt. Pepper clothes. They were not the originals, but they were recreated with the exact fabric, with their measurements as well, and they had the measurement sheet, which was so cool to me as a costume tech. I was like, oh my god. But these remind me exactly of seeing them in person because they're so neon.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of obnoxious. And Moschino's collection is very neon and very, I think it's really cool. It's been quite divisive though.
I personally really like it. I feel like with a lot of Moschino designs, it's either hit or miss for people.
Yeah, you either like it or you don't.
Yeah.
I think especially this jacket we pulled, the marching band leader jacket in yellow, pink, and navy, I think that's really cute. Mm-hmm. That's something really cool. Definitely high fashion, but I would totally wear that.
Oh yeah, and I would definitely wear those boots, both of them.
Yes! And then we've also got this Anna Sui 2021 collection, very 60s inspired. And very, it has a little bit of Western, which we'll talk about
it
in a bit.
It does, but the cow print.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cow print, the overalls, the models are all styled to have very full bangs and long hair. We've also got some psychedelic prints.
Yes, and pattern matching.
Patterns
on top of each other.
Graphic tees. It's super 60s and 70s inspired. And I'm very excited that this is all coming back.
Yeah, it's your decade.
It's my decades. I'm thriving. We also have the Gucci Hollywood Boulevard show, which was, I feel like, one of the big fashion moments of the year.
Yeah, shutting down Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
It's wild. A wild Jared Leto just walking in.
Lady Gaga wore one of the dresses from this show, like, 2 days after it premiered or something.
Yeah, she was one of the first. She was the first person to wear a garment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it has a 60s and 70s vibe. It also has a 1930s vibe a little bit, kind of old Hollywood.
Yes, definitely.
It's a great mix of all of them.
I mean, this collection was inspired by old Hollywood.
Yeah.
So, makes sense.
Like, I mean, obviously they're on Hollywood Boulevard, so like it's Hollywood glamour. Yeah, like that kind of stuff. I think it's a good example of how you can kind of pull from different time periods, different aesthetics, and mix them all into one cohesive look. You don't necessarily have to go full 60s, full 70s, full 1930s. You can kind of play with both or all and see what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love the pink suit here. It's so cool.
Yes, I love
with
it.
The fishnet gloves.
Uh-huh.
Oh, such a chic look.
Such a little detail that just, again, elevates the look.
It looks very Manskin, very David Bowie, very glam rock.
It does. I love it. I'm thriving in the age of glam rock coming back.
I know. I want a time machine to go to David Bowie's shows.
It'd be fantastic.
Do you want to talk about the other vintage-inspired trend this year?
Yes.
Western. Everything Western.
Yes. Western is coming back. So Western as a whole is like a broad category. And definitely we saw a lot of branches of Western from, because we all know Western, 1800s.
Yeah, like actual Wild West Western.
Yes. Actual Wild West. But it has always felt like only a select few people can embrace that look.
Yeah.
But in today's age, thanks to a lot of definitely a lot of, like, celebrities like Lil Nas X and Kacey Musgraves, like, bringing, and Dolly Parton, of course.
Ugh, our queen.
Our queen. Just making it more accessible to people.
Yeah.
And Dolly Parton ushering in the very much Americana Dolly Parton Western. And then the Y'alternatives of today.
Yes, we got to tell our producer about Y'alternative. It was very exciting. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Y'alternative is basically, it's alternative, but Western. It's an alternative way to look at Western wear. It's kind of embracing both the past and the aesthetics of Western, but bringing it into a modern day and a more diverse audience, which is super cool.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love it.
I love Y'alternative. Lil Nas X, I feel like we're just gonna keep talking about him because I love his fashion so much.
He's so iconic.
But his Western wear is off the charts. It's so cool.
It is. And like, if you want a good example of Y'alternative, just look at Lil Nas X.
Yeah, like anything he wore when he was promoting Old Town Road is very Western influenced, and I think that's definitely just gone into fashion shows in general. Like, we just talked about this Anna Sui show that had cow print. So many shows from New York Fashion Week had a very Western aesthetic.
Yes, like a lot of fringe, lots of leather. I saw a shocking amount of cowboy hats making your
cowboy hats, cowboy boots. Mm-hmm. Yep. Western is definitely, I think it's something that's only gonna grow in 2022.
Oh, I definitely think so. Especially with the rise of the 70s with the fringe as well. And there's like a lot of overlap.
There's definitely also like a look back at the kind of classic Americana version of Western, which isn't necessarily what actual real life cowboys were. But, you know, people, stars like Dolly Parton wore, who is a fashion icon. And I will die on this hill.
Oh, absolutely.
She's the best.
She's incredible.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the patterns and fabrics you can use to get this kind of aesthetic?
Absolutely. So, again, this is only a select few of our patterns that could be used to recreate Western looks. The first pattern is the Annie jacket.
Yes.
Which can very much just be your standard jean jacket, or you can pair it with a nice fringe to add more of that Western vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You can use a different fabric for the lapels and the accents.
Yeah, you can make it out of suede.
Yeah,
you can make it out of, obviously we made ours out of denim, but you could make it out of leather possibly too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
It's diverse, but it has just a couple of subtle design elements that are Western that it makes it super cool.
Oh yeah.
And we paired it with the Ren jeans. They're a really great basic flared jean.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you're looking for a more 60s and 70s look, the Ren jeans are there. But if you're looking for a more Western look, you can definitely add more Western design elements or make it out of like a cool cow print twill or something.
Yeah, exactly. You don't even have to make it out of, like what Camille was saying, you can make it out of any fabric. You can even make it doesn't need to be like a super structured fabric. You can make it out of like velour or something crazy.
Ooh, that would be cool. Yeah, you can definitely have a lot of fun with the Ren jeans. It's a very versatile pattern. Mm-hmm. We also have the ginger dress. This is one of my favorite dresses.
Me too. It's so cute.
It's a mini dress with bishop sleeves, and it's very 1960s inspired. Again, if you, like me, are obsessed with the Beatles, and you're like, what did all of their wives and girlfriends wear, and I want to look like that, the ginger dress.
That's actually very accurate.
They all wear, like, they all show up, and they look fabulous in the documentary.
Yeah, they look fantastic.
Yeah, and Yoko Ono shows up in so many dresses that are wearing this, which I'm glad she's not a controversial figure anymore, because she is a style icon.
She is.
Like, it's a really, really cool look. And this is also another one of those garments that I think works really well for day wear, like more dressy, mm-hmm. like business casual. And then it can also work for like a date dress or mm-hmm. like a cocktail dress. It's a really versatile pattern depending on the fabric you use.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our next pattern is our Shirley dress.
This is so cute.
It's so cute. It's very, very 1950s.
Yeah, it's 1950s. It also feels very Dolly Parton to me.
It does.
It feels very Western. It's a really good combination of both. If you liked WandaVision like we did, I think it looks a lot like the dress that she wears when she's cooking.
Yeah, have some
WandaVision. Yeah. she's with the apron and she's like cooking to prep for dinner. It looks a lot like that dress. It can definitely be modified too for if anyone's looking to do a Wanda cosplay, something like that.
Yes, with a good little petticoat underneath.
Yeah, perfect. 100%. Or just like a Disney bound.
Yeah, that is actually very true. Or if you want to lean more into the Western, make it out of like a cow print.
Yeah, cow print, horses, paisley. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of options for you there. In our final two patterns, we have the Maisel dress.
Yes.
This dress is technically a Marvelous Miss Maisel cosplay, but it can honestly be used for anyone who loves a more vintage aesthetic.
Absolutely.
1950s, early 60s, that kind of look. This is also a silhouette that looks great on a lot of body types.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those like eternally flattering styles that people are looking for as they're inspired by vintage.
Yes.
Like anyone can look in this and totally rock it.
Mm-hmm. And the last pattern is our Janet cosplay vest. It's also a cosplay pattern from The Good Place because our fabric was used for Janet.
Woo!
Yay! But this pattern is good for, the vest is good for not just if you want to make a cosplay, or it's good for if you want to dress it up and make it out of a dressy fabric. It's also really good if you want to lean more into the Western look and make it out of, I don't know,
suede. You could also lean into like a dark academia look to
throw it
back and make it out of like a plaid. It's pretty versatile. It's just like a, although again, it is a cosplay pattern, it's like a very standard tailored vest that if you're looking for that kind of statement piece, you could definitely wear.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our third trend. All right, so just as people are looking to the past for inspiration, they're also looking towards the future and seeing what they can do to build a better future with their fashion. So another huge trend we've seen is sustainable or socially conscious fashion. So some examples of this are slow fashion, the huge rise in sewing, homemade garments, a lot more focus on supporting small or family-owned businesses, particularly during the pandemic, and also sizing inclusivity. A huge moment recently was Adele talking about her weight loss and weight gain and that it really isn't anyone's business if she lost or gained weight because we don't know her, which is very true.
Exactly.
We also talked about this in our New York Fashion Week episode, but there's been a huge push for model inclusivity, age, race, gender, size, ability. It really runs the gamut, but people are definitely moving towards clothes reflecting actual people's bodies.
It's so exciting to see.
Yeah, it's great. As, you know, we grew up in the Y2K era.
Yeah.
And during that time, it was very, every model was so thin and just so, like, it's just an unattainable look for most people. Like, you know, you have to have a certain body type and have a certain bone structure and all that kind of stuff. And most people
don't look like that.
Don't look like that. And it's really cool to see not only just a huge diverse body type, but, you know, people who have different skin colors, different genders, different ages. It's really cool to start seeing that. And I think people are just more aware, especially during the pandemic, as we really started to have a huge push to support small businesses, family-owned businesses, people are more aware of their, where their money goes.
Mm-hmm.
One huge example of this that the conversation happened a lot this year was because of the Lularich documentary.
Yes, which if you haven't watched the documentary yet, highly recommend. It's a very good documentary.
It's a very good documentary, especially if anyone is interested in just the business of fashion and how fashion works. It's about an MLM that is still going on that is basically scammed a lot of people out of their money, and more, there's been a huge anti-MLM movement recently, and it's just a great documentary to again show you like that people are thinking more about like where their money goes, and when they buy fashion, they want, like, people are more willing to spend a little more money if it comes from a small business, or they know it's sustainable, or they know it's ethically sourced. There's a lot of huge focus on this. Some designers we've seen embrace this are Colleen Estrada. They have a very eco-friendly aesthetic, and Chromat as well, which is a swimwear brand. All of their swimwear is very diverse and versatile for a wide number of, you know, sizes, yeah, genders, ability. I mean, it's really something that you can see anyone wearing, and it's more focused on taking the agony out of swimwear. Because I can attest, I have definitely had a hard time finding swimwear I like that fits me well. It's never fun. And
yeah,
it's always, I love this push. This is like one of my favorite things that has happened this year.
Oh, I agree. It's definitely something that needed to happen. And I'm very glad it's happening.
Yeah, I think especially because people have realized how wasteful the fashion industry can be. People are really looking to, us too, here at Mood, we're really looking to sort of push sustainability and, you know, ethical sourcing, all that kind of stuff. Yes, and it's great. Yeah. We have a lot of ways that you can support this movement going forward. One is we have a lot of unisex or gender neutral free patterns. Our Bay swimsuit is a really good example. While it's advertised as a swimsuit, this is also just a really good activewear pattern.
Oh yeah, in general, athleisure wear.
Yeah, like it's a great pair of bike shorts. Listen to our Diana episode to hear our thoughts about bike shorts, and a great crop top, sports bra kind of top with different, you can make it more covered, less covered. It's very versatile and it's great. Again, I can also attest, sometimes at the gym, you feel really self-conscious about what you wear, even though you're working out. And it's one of those things that will make you feel fabulous, regardless of gender, size, ability, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's totally gender neutral, so anyone can wear it. It's a swimsuit. It's activewear. It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
It has to be made out of stretch fabric, though. Don't try making it out of denim.
That won't work.
We also have the Brando unisex tee, which is great. Again, it's a very basic unisex t-shirt, but can be made out of a wide variety of jersey fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They have a lot of sustainable jersey fabrics as well. You can shop on our website, Special Properties Sustainable, on the left-hand side, and find everything that's sustainably sourced. We also have a bunch of dead stock fabric, which basically means that the designer has decided to stop producing the fabric, so they've sent us the existing rolls that they have. So when you buy dead stock fabric, you're not contributing to any extra textile industry water waste.
Yay.
Yeah. I took an environmental science class. Our final one, speaking of zero waste, is the Cadia shirt. This is one of my favorite new patterns to come out recently.
Yes. We definitely are planning on doing more patterns 100%. Like this one.
Yeah. Mm. This Cadia shirt, sometimes I find zero waste patterns can be a little bit, they just feel like a box, because a lot of zero waste is a box. But I love the Cadia shirt. It feels so cute. It feels like it could be a blouse, a regular work top. It could be like a casual moment.
And it's flattering on everyone. Oh my gosh,
I am in love with this shirt. It's so cool. I could not tell you enough. And it's zero waste, and it's really comfy, and you look great. I can't.
Highly recommend.
We also, on our blog, we have a bunch of tips for sewing a sustainable wardrobe, breaking down eco-friendly versus sustainable versus dead stock, if you're curious about these terms.
And our capsule curator.
Yeah, this is a great way to limit your wardrobe and cut down on fast fashion. There's been a lot of, I think, previously slow fashion has just meant designer clothes, which is not always the case. Slow fashion can just mean buying a garment at any price point and making it last a long time. And this is a great way to do that. If you have a capsule wardrobe, you can just wear like a couple of the same things over and over again, and then you're cutting down on fabric waste.
Yes.
Yeah.
No need to buy new clothes every month.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, and it saves money too, so that's always good.
Plus.
All right, we're going to get into our last trend of the year.
Yes, looking to the future.
Literally. Looking forward into the future, we are seeing a futuristic aesthetic,
Yes.
Mostly influenced by the huge acceleration of technology and
the boom technology.
The way we can produce clothes now is so different than the way we could produce clothes even 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And also, again, as people spend more time inside, they're more inspired by the internet, the metaverse.
Video games!
Yeah. Cyberpunk 2077 was huge this year. Yes. You can definitely see its influence on fashion.
Absolutely.
The color of the year, 2022, very Perry. Pantone put out in their write-up about it that it was inspired by video games.
And the metaverse.
Oh, I hate that word.
And also, we've, like, the last year or two, because we're always inside, mm-hmm. there's been a boom and a rise in Twitch streamers' popularity.
Yeah, just people spending more time online. And, mm-hmm. you know, that is good or bad thing, depending on your view on it. But it's definitely influenced fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Some people that we cite as influences here are, of course, our fave, Lil Nas X.
Yes, here we stand, Lil Nas X.
Come on the podcast. We love you.
That'd be amazing.
That would be so cool. Doja Cat is very heavily influenced. Ash, do you want to brag?
Yes, I'll brag a little bit. Yeah, I part-time or gig-based sometimes. I work and help the designer Chris Habana make garments. And I've worked on 2 garments for Doja Cat for music videos, which is cool.
She's worked on the boob gun for her latest video. If you're curious as to what it is. She's so cool. I love her style. It's a great mix of the kind of futuristic internet-influenced aesthetic, but she does a really great job of calling back to vintage.
Oh, yeah.
Look, she did a whole Chicago performance one time that was so cool. She also, like Ash worked on, she does a lot of stuff influenced by video games, cosplay.
She did, cosplay. The boob gun was inspired by Tank Girl.
Yeah.
And then the other garment I worked on was her Libra look, Zodiac.
She's really like got her finger on the pulse. She's cool.
Mm-hmm.
We love her. Also, a show this year that I don't know if you guys have heard of, this show called Squid Game.
this little indie show
from Korea that you guys probably haven't heard of. That show is hugely popular this year and definitely has a futuristic, dystopic, cyberpunk, crazy aesthetic. As much as I loved the show and I thought Squid Game was well made, I did have nightmares about it, so I have mixed feelings about the
Understandable.
Show.
It's a very messy.
Yeah, it's very violent. If you like are maybe under 16, don't watch it.
Yeah, beware.
Yeah, just be aware. But definitely, besides WandaVision, that was the most popular Halloween costume this year by a landslide.
Absolutely. Tracksuits coming back.
Yeah. This sort of trend is also, there's a lot of athleisure in this trend and kind of taking athleisure up from like regular hoodies to a more high fashion place. And I think Squid Game is definitely going to contribute to that because while their hoodies or their tracksuits felt very basic, there's a lot of history and thought behind them. The specific color was the color of a political movement in Korea in the 1970s, mm-hmm. and it's calling back to school uniforms. Like any costume design, there's a lot of thought put into like just a color.
Absolutely.
We also have Dune and Zendaya. She's so cool.
Specifically, that leather dress.
Yeah, the leather Balmain dress. Oh. If you guys don't know, it's this draped leather dress. The craftsman is Robert Mercier.
Thank you for pronouncing that.
You're welcome. My 1 year of college French does me well. And it's a really great mix of craftsmanship, of what a lot of this movement is doing, which is bringing crafts and craftsmanship into this kind of futuristic, otherworldly, sci-fi inspired video game place,
which is probably why this is besides the fantasy / mythology, the futuristic technology cyberpunk-esque aesthetic is one that I really love.
Yeah,
it is like just a blending of crafts work plus athleisure and comfort, like very comfortable clothing.
Yeah, I mean, Ash and I are both really huge geeks, so I feel like this aesthetic is right up our alley. I love video games, and I love cosplay and all this kind of stuff.
Obviously. We're big nerds.
Yes, we're huge nerds. And I also love to see what designers do with this. I think in Dutch is technically Iris. So Iris van Herpen, her collections this year have just been absolutely gorgeous.
Oh yeah, they're mind-blowing. And a lot of celebrities have been wearing them on the red carpets, at the Met Gala, for obvious reasons. They're literal works of art.
They're works of art. They feel like, I mean, you see dresses like the Charles James dresses where they were so revolutionary for their time and they're so well-crafted and you're just kind of mind-blown of like, oh my gosh, this feels like the 2021-2022 version of that. A lot of it is 3D printed combined with fabrics and it's so cool. It looks like, again, it looks straight out of Dune or a sci-fi novel, Star Wars. It's so cool.
Yeah, and another fashion house brand that's been diving into the 3D printed realm is 3S4 with their spring 2022 ready-to-wear collection. Lots of 3D printed pieces in this one. Lots of laser cut. The 3D printed pieces are laser cut. The fabric is laser cut
around
the garments.
Again, a great marriage of technology and craftsmanship and like the design aesthetic version. There's also a lot of, much like Iris van Herpen, there's a lot of influence from the natural world. We get into 3S4 a little bit more in our New York Fashion Week podcast, but
go check it out.
I feel like we're just plugging this podcast the whole time. But this particular dress that we're looking at, it looks like a cocoon made out of butterfly wings.
Yes, it really does.
Which is a cool marriage of technology and nature. Another trend that we are seeing that we have labeled under futuristic, even though it is not futuristic technically, is Y2K. The reason why I've put this under this is because it's so influenced by the internet, it's not even funny.
It's so true. And this has been such a huge boom the last year and a half. Of Y2K fashion coming back, especially on TikTok.
I will definitely say Ash and I are a little baffled by it just because
we lived through it.
We are elder Gen Z, and therefore to us we remember the highs and lows of Y2K.
Yeah, for real. And then it's just the romanticizing of it, because a lot of the Y2K romanticizing of the old early internet aesthetics, such as the flip phone, old iPods, and the iTunes layout. Like, I can understand that, because for a lot of younger Gen Zers who are either too young to remember the
2000s, like, were born in 2001.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I can understand the romanticizing of the technology, because it's almost like how we romanticize, like, the 80s.
Yeah, like, cassette players. I definitely think, like, maybe this is so weird to us because this is the first time this is happening to us.
Yeah.
But probably some of our listeners are like, oh, you babies.
Like, but I cannot grasp the romanticizing of 2000s fashion.
No, I'm not going to lie. I don't like this era of fashion. It looks great on some people. I think Olivia Rodrigo rocks it. I cannot wear this fashion. I can't. Like, the low-waist jeans, I don't have the stomach for that, y'all. And you know what? Body positivity. Wear what you want to wear. But for me, that would, like, actually hurt.
I am positive. My body cannot.
Yeah, exactly. And I never liked the small glasses because I'm a very, very practical person. And to me, I'm like, you can't see out of that. Like, I'm thinking very, very practically and not look-based. I do wear glasses, so that's probably why. But
we are also visually impaired.
Yes. But I do think there are some, like, cute things. I like Olivia Rodrigo's style a lot. I think she's taken it to a very interesting place.
Oh, yeah.
I just like her music too. But it will be interesting to see how this plays out in 2022 because internet trends are moving so fast.
So quickly.
Yeah.
And if we, like, I always loved learning about all the decades of the 1900s and how quickly fashion developed over that 100-year span. But
100%.
Now, because of internet, because of how connected we are, it's going to move 1,000 times faster.
I know. It's scary, but it's also exciting. It's like a weird mix of the two.
Yeah. Just don't, what I've learned from this, don't throw out your clothes because it's going to come back in 10 years.
Yeah, I know. My mom, because I'm such a, I love 70s style so much, and my mom is always like, I never should have thrown out all that stuff. It's so cool now. I remember when the 80s came back when I was in middle school and she would, like, lend me all her clothes. Yeah. So don't throw out your clothes. Don't throw out your JNCO jeans. Someone might want them.
They're coming back.
I saw
someone wearing them the other day. They're coming back.
All right. We're going to just go over a couple of mood fabrics, patterns, and fabrics that you can use And then
we'll wrap it up.
We're going to wrap it up for this futuristic athleisure inspired look. We've got a couple of patterns for you. So we've got one of my favorite patterns that came out this past year, which is the Avelia bomber jacket that yes. we did a redux with the Heracles collections with a ruched sleeve. I could totally see someone, like the Ferrari collection that we talked about, I could totally see this being a part of the Ferrari collection.
100%, which is also why I took this the garment that we made for this, I took because
yes.
it 100% reminds me of the Ferrari collection.
Yeah, and it feels very high fashion, but it's super cozy as well.
Yes.
It's a bomber jacket, so it's going to feel nice. We also have the Gordonia hoodie.
Which is perfect for athleisure wear, athletic, or just lounging.
Mm-hmm. This feels very cyberpunk to me. Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah. It's cropped, so it's basically just the hoodie and sleeves and then a little detail on the chest.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool. It feels very futuristic, very cyberpunk. Highly recommend.
And another pattern that we have that also feels very... It's kind of like a blend of the futuristic feel as well as a little bit of the fantasy-esque feel, mm-hmm. which is our briar top. It has yes. that corseted bit at the bottom.
Yeah, I own this top. Yeah. I feel like this is just us exposing what we take home from work. So I have this. It's got a corseted waist, and then it's basically just a t-shirt on top, and it's mm-hmm. really cool. It's definitely a statement piece. But it's also, it's a statement piece, but it's a little more subdued.
And it's also very cozy.
It is. It's really comfortable. Mm-hmm. I can attest to that, for real. I also think this is something that, again, will look good on a lot of body type.
We also have the boxwood hoodie, which is another pattern that is very cozy.
Yeah, this is your basic hoodie, yes. y'all.
You can also make it into a hoodie vest if you mm-hmm. remove the sleeves.
Yeah, and it's, again, one of those patterns that you can really make your own mm-hmm. update depending on the fabric you use. You can make it into a hoodie vest, make it into a cropped hoodie. Those are super yeah. popular right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Do some cool trimming on the hood. I don't know. There's a lot of cool yeah, things you can do with it.
Get creative.
Get creative. We also have a bunch of different fabrics that are super futuristic inspired. Our sugar collection feels very vaporwave to me.
Yes.
If you know what vaporwave is, shout out. It's got that kind of internet crazy Tumblr aesthetic. I don't know. It's cool. It's really cool. I love the sugar collection, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I bought fabric from it, so mm-hmm. I can attest. We've also got, we have Tyvek, but it's currently sold out everywhere due to the pandemic. But once it is back in stock, we will let you know.
Yeah.
That's really popular right now.
Another one of those shortages.
Yeah, supply chain issues. And we've just got so many cool novelty specialty fabrics that you can take a look through and definitely find some inspiration from.
And lots of brocades.
Yes, and more coming up. Speaking of, we are going to transition into our look ahead for 2022 and tell you what's new here and what we're planning on for this next year.
Woo! Exciting times.
So we've got a couple of new fabric collections upcoming. We've got flocked fabrics. These are so cool.
These, genuinely everyone, these fabrics are really cool.
They're really cool. They're super dimensional, super textured. The flocking always has a like very plush velvet-like texture.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on a really wide variety of grounds. Some are on a stretch ground. Some of them are on a cotton dobby. Some of them are just on like a cotton twill. And some of them have really cool designs. There's the skull ones that are super cool. There's the like red and black alphabet one.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Yeah. So these are some cool fabrics. Definitely a little Y2K.
Oh yeah.
A little bit, but they're not too much where Ash and I
are like,
oh my gosh, I'm back. Like,
but also there's a variety of different colors that mm-hmm. everyone will definitely love. There are some like metallic glittery ones.
Yeah, there's so many. Oh, they're so cool. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're good for if you want to make some sort of Renaissance doublet or something, or like a dress.
Oh my gosh, that would be so cool. Yeah. We've also have upcoming 95 plus new brocades. These are very cool. they run the gamut from fantasy, medieval, cottagecore, luxury to crazy, futuristic, awesome, iridescent. There's even psychedelic 60s-inspired ones.
I want to buy those so bad.
They're so cool. And then you've got also just got brocades that you could use for, like, a New Year's Eve party or a very couture evening gown. I mean, they run the gamut. Obviously, there's 95-plus of them, so there's going to be quite a wide variety. If you are in the market for a really luxurious, high-end, fabulous fabric, these are the ones for you.
Yes. Get a brocade today.
Ha, I know. That was good. I'm proud of myself. In terms of new notions or buttons, I mentioned this last episode, but we have the Tula Pink notions that I'm really excited about. There's a really cool, like, quilter's maker's journal. It's advertised as a quilter's journal, but it really can be for anything. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. It has, like, a gridded paper, and you can date and number your projects on it, and it has a glittery, fun cover on it.
It's very fun. It's very cute.
There's unicorn head pins, which I love. Those are so cute.
Paired perfectly with our oil slick scissors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also Tula Pink. Mm-hmm. And we have so many new kits and bundles, y'all.
So many. Perfect for holiday gifts. Perfect if you're traveling. Pajamas, robes, sleep, eye masks, scrunchies.
They're also great if you're just like, I don't know what project I want to make. Oh, let me look through this. And we have, like, pre-made projects for you. I know I do this all the time. I love buying project kits because I'm like, all right, I don't have to think about this.
Exactly.
I'm like, they know what they're talking about. And we also have a bunch of, like, our notions are grouped together in supplies. So pattern drafting kits, draping kits.
Dyeing kits,
which I wrote a blog post for. Yeah. Plug. And we have the mystery bundles. Those are always really big. We love seeing y'all unbox those. And we're definitely planning on doing those throughout 2022, so keep an eye out. So we have some new free patterns for you. We have the Savannah Shacket. I am wearing that right now as we speak because my other coat was too loud for this podcast. It's very comfortable. I can attest to that. It's
comfortable.
Cozy.
It's cute.
It's cute. It's got the kind of puffy bell sleeve cottagecore moment going on.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, this is definitely in the cottagecore fantasy of, like, living out in the woods on your own cutting lumber. I definitely feel that with this shirt, but in a high fashion way.
Aesthetic.
Yes. We also have the Anara wrap dress, which is very glittery. Very fabulous.
It is perfect if you're still looking to make a garment for either Christmas and you're really trying to rush, or New Year's.
I think this goes out after Christmas. So if you're looking for next Christmas.
Next Christmas or New Year's.
Or you might have a postponed holiday party.
Yeah, it's true.
That you need to make something for. There's a bunch of things around the New Year that I know. There's a bunch of events coming up. So it's a really great option for that. You can also make it out of something that's a little more casual and just have it as a casual work dress.
Yeah.
Also, our last thing we want to say, and this is really exciting, our Facebook group reached 1,000 followers!
Woo-hoo!
Woo! We're so excited.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for following so much.
Yeah, we're really excited. We've seen a lot of y'all's work on there, and it's so exciting and fun.
Yes, we love the interaction. We love just being able to talk to you all on a more connected level, like just two people talking about projects that we're working on.
It's so cool to see everyone either doing their mood projects, or even if it's not from, like, a mood pattern or anything, just being like, hey, I made this cool thing. And we're like, that's so cool. And we're going to definitely be doing some exclusive things for the Facebook group in the future. So keep an eye out.
Yes, stay tuned. Hopefully in the future, maybe we'll do a live stream. Maybe we'll do a giveaway. Maybe there'll be exclusive sales and coupons. Ooh. Who knows?
Who knows what we have in the works?
Yeah.
All right, that is it for us for this episode and for 2021.
Woo!
Woo!
Overall, how was the year for you?
Good. I mean, I started working here and I like working here, so that's cool.
I also started working here.
Crazy? It's almost like I told them to hire you. Yeah, it's been great. I'm excited I get to work with you again.
Yeah.
Which is so weird and serendipitous. Who would have thought?
Honestly,
that we ended up working at the same place.
It's honestly really nice.
It's
just
nice.
Being able to move more into the the work field with someone, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We've kind of started our, like, professional lives together, and it's really exciting. So we are so excited to bring you guys more content, more podcasts, more fun things over 2022.
Yes, thank you for listening. Thank you for following the podcast. Thank you for engaging with us. And we really hope that you stick around into the new year.
Yeah, we cannot wait for what 2022 brings. Happy New Year, y'all!
Happy New Year! Don't party too hard!
Thank you for listening to the Mood Society podcast. We are produced by Mood Designer Fabrics and the Mood Society blog. Be sure to follow us on social media for sewing and podcast updates. We are at Mood Fabrics on Instagram, Pinterest, and TikTok. Join our Facebook group, linked in the description, if you'd like to directly interact with us, ask us questions, and post updates on what you've been making. And if you're loving the podcast, be sure to give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and tell your friends. Whether you're sewing, crafting, designing, or just hanging out, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.